Now I read letter 16 from Letters to Martin, dated 17th of July, 1977. Last night, I saw again, as a man does some familiar thing come new without a reason, Socrates, the little statue in my room, and picked up Plato. Alcibiades, the beauty, saw him a swag-bellied, snub-snout-rolling Silenus. Or rather, the statue of that satyr, hawkers sold in the streets of Athens, plaster and hollow inside. But Socrates, he said, had a god within. The unknown god? And Alcibiades was necessary to his life, being the traitor to his beliefs, crowning his conviction even to his body's death, as Judas was to Jesus' sacrifice. Yet he had no wish to be a martyr in the Christian sense, but to live a witness to the very root in Greek. His death was a battle for the life and freedom of the mind. Simple and unafraid, with laughter mocking himself as merely a gadfly on the world's thick rump, he died for the right to ask an awakening question and to judge the answer. For freedom, to respect the truth. Later I needed music to hear, and in the darkness, blind, picked out a cassette that by a kind of sorties answered with Debussy's L'Après-midi d'Enfant. And again, as always, was moved into a tenseness past delight or any recordable feeling by the tritones entering there. Knowing my ignorance, you won't expect me to analyze my response into intervals between the fourth and seventh tones, unperfect fifths and the like, B and F above it short of a tone, a diminished fifth that's slightly larger than an augmented fourth, all this from a textbook. With equal temperament ironing out by an ex-cathedra this sinuous serpent from a paradise of sound. Nay, I can Greek upon occasion. But Diabolus in Musica, the name he gives himself of Kaikos Rou Shapourgis Orabji, my friend for almost 50 years, whose equal temperament is for friends, and for the rest, a wise and witty irony at most. I listened in mid-June to snatches of his music. It was an hour for the mind and spirit of man. The flame was there, ahura, in the lambency of life, at war with the devil's dross, with the woodlice and their insect thoughts scurrying from the sacrificial blaze, the praise of being. And in the temple of sound, a gentle, strong simplicity of Alistair, the dear disciple, leaving a friend whose eyes are clear to learn the richness of those tapestries. As the subtle fingers of Yonti Solomon, a priest of music, trace in the pattern fine exuberance, God's gift of plenitude. For in that clear complexity of fire is burning belief and worship, where the kneeling spirit of man sings in faith the pure Magnificat. And then on the other side, I had recorded a talk some while ago about a man I'd walked and talked with daily for a month and more. It is 20 years, the professor said, since E.J. Moran died, drowned in Kenmare Bay on his cold December birthday. I thought of him, not with sorrow and even regret, for that warm summer I knew him was also 20 years ago. And if all his music were forgotten, the professor said, all but one, I should name his Lonely Waters. Something in the man's voice echoed a memory in me, the enriched tones of velveteen fustian draping the bare facts. And I wondered if the professor also remembered two fellow students late one night leaving a concert and climbing the rails of the London County Hall with paper bags of chips, sitting on the parapet and dangling their legs over the black and lamp-starred water. He was a witty youth, witty in movement, able to mimic our fustian lecturers and such, with a still face that would suddenly, quake with chuckles. Had he now, it seemed, come to the parapet above the dark water of mimicking himself? But Moran could never mime the composer. We were standing on the jetty of Kenmare River. They are waiting, he said, waiting for me, for a sound from me, for the festival, and not a note written. And when I look at the blank music paper, the lines are like the wrinkles on my forehead, querying, and there never will be a sound. On that warm afternoon in August, he stood like a flushed and weary Silenus, with a taste of wine sour on his tongue, yet his throat parched. Then he spoke casually of the Chaucer line about playing on the ivy leaf, and showed me how. Of his search for folk songs, snatching music from the unwritten air, then dropped into silence again. I often swim here, he said, when I am sober. I saw him again time and times, but never a word about music. And later, when I heard that Moran, a strong swimmer, was found dead in a slack bay of Kenmare River, I thought of a tired, wine-soured Silenus, with an ivy leaf on his tongue, making the last sounds of a thin music beside the sun-young waters dancing down to the sea.